Hello, guys. I am Bobby. Welcome into the Lambo Speak podcast. This is episode 23, brought to you by the Toilets to Titles podcast network. Nate got called into work today, so I'm going to be flying a little solo today. You can find us on Twitter at Toilets to Titles. You can find me on Twitter at Bobby A. Winter. You can find all of our work at toiletstotitles.com. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit like and subscribe and hit the bell for the notifications for when we go live. If you listen to us on podcast format on Apple, please like us, give us a 5-star review. And always remember that you can reach any of us on our Gilded Chat. The Gilded Chat is completely free. We have over 240 members on there. We talk everything from football to advice and fantasy to just stuff going on in our lives. It's a really close-knit community. You guys should check it out. So the Green Bay Packers lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going into the game, I wasn't very confident that the Packers were going to be able to beat the Steelers. It was really just like a coaching disadvantage. I think very highly of Coach Tomlin, just like most of the other people do in the league. Their defense is pretty stout, although I thought the offensive line held up pretty well. TJ Watt had the one sack, but in my opinion, that was really more of a coverage sack. I don't really think that was on Zach Tom at all. But Jordan Love himself played a lot better. He was pushing the ball down the field with success, which was great because, for the last couple of weeks, he had been struggling. Last week, he was starting to look more confident and was starting to put things together. I thought he had one of his best games as a pro last week. And this week, he played pretty well. His completion percentage was pretty low, which it really kind of has been all season. But that's not all on him. As we've discussed, there's drop passes, there's receivers running the wrong routes. There are still some boneheaded interceptions. I'm not going to say too much about the last interception. There was a couple of seconds left in the game. They had to throw it into the end zone. They had seven people standing in the end zone. It would have been almost kind of like a miracle if they were to have won that game. It was an uphill battle. It was a very difficult play to make. So I'm not going to hold that one against him. The other one, though, is a little concerning because it looks like him and Watson just don't have that connection yet. It seems like, in the beginning of the game, they were looked like they took some of my advice of what I had been saying over the last couple of weeks, that they should be getting Watson involved early and more often and in other ways other than just these deep shots down the field, because I don't know if it's a Watson thing, if it's a Love thing, because Love showed today that he can throw the ball successfully down the field. I mean, Luke Musgrave had a huge game. Jaden Reed had a huge game. It's just him and Watson really just aren't quite there yet. The ball looked a little underthrown. Watson, you can say whatever you want about his contested catchability, but it's just not quite there yet. And I would say it would probably be safe to say that there was a risky play. Obviously it was dialed up for Watson. And Watson was in position to make a play. But like I said, the ball was a little underthrown, so it's just not quite there yet. I think that they should be a little bit more conservative or have really some more like dialed up plays, more design plays other than just these down the field shots to Watson. At least for now, until the connection's there, which, if you look at over the years with Aaron Rodgers, as he was saying with all of his receivers, it takes time. It takes time to build that chemistry between these receivers and to get on the same page. And especially with how fast Watson is, he has to adjust how he throws to him as opposed to any other player that plays on their offense. So I'm not too concerned. We know what this year is. It's a year to build on. It's a year to grow. It's a year to see what we have in Love. It's a year to see what we have in this very young wide receiver core. But speaking of the wide receiver core, I thought that pass to Romeo Doubs, that first touchdown pass, was beautiful. It was by all means not a short pass. He put it perfectly right where it needed to be in the corner of the end zone. Romeo made a fantastic catch, got both of his feet in right before the corner of the end zone. It was awesome. I saw that and I was like, man, like you couldn't help but not feel optimistic as a Packers fan that you're like, man, this offense, it shows signs where it could really look good and that they're starting to put some of this stuff together. And I thought that was a perfect example of it. And also Jaden Reed is a dog. Jaden Reed is probably wide receiver one on this team. He, first of all, in that touchdown catch that he had, he was double covered, came up with it. Jaden Reed is just, he's just getting open. He's creating separation like none of the other receivers are on this team. And it's funny because this season I would be relegated to the role of the, you know, shimmy, get open quick, maybe be a third down target. But I mean, he's shown that he can handle anything that this offense is asking him to do, which is, I mean, fantastic, because somebody really needed to step up on this team with how, I don't want to say how disappointing Watson's been, but he's definitely not living up to the expectations that I know a lot of Packers fans have had going into this season. I mean, before the season started, we talked about some of the bets that we would have made. And when I saw the receiving total for Christian Watson being at like 700 something receiving yards, I was saying hammer the over, you know, because I thought that this was going to be his breakout year after how well he had played down the stretch of his rookie season. So it doesn't matter who it is, but somebody needed to step up. And it seems like Jaden Reed, he's just been feasting. He looks, for, especially as a rookie, he's outperforming some of these receivers that were drafted before him, which is phenomenal. So Jaden Reed's looking good. And I also thought that Luke Musgrave had a really good game as well. He's obviously, he was drafted and he was a move tight end in college, but they've been asking him to do a lot more than that. And he's always been kind of an effort blocker, and you can see that now in the pros as well. But I thought he was blocking pretty well. He made a couple of key blocks, but also, I mean, he's just getting open down the middle of the field. I mean, he had a couple of fantastic catches in this game. He had a couple of contested catches that he didn't quite come away from. It seems like contested catching is a problem on this offense right now. And that's just a mentality thing. You know, Jaden Reed doesn't have that. Jaden Reed has a my ball, get ball mentality, and he's just been awesome. He was awesome in college at it too. But I feel like Luke Musgrave is starting to put it all together. You know, these seam shots down the middle of the field, especially that huge gain in the third quarter, it was fantastic. And he had probably his best game as a pro, his most receiving yards in a game. And I think, you know, when we made that prediction earlier in the season, that he would break the receiver catch for a tight end, he might actually break the receiver catch record for any player for the Green Bay Packers. Sterling Sharp holds the record, and at the pace that he's going at right now, he's very close to tying it or breaking it. Now, obviously they have an extra game compared to Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp played when there was only 16 games, but I still think that even if you were to break it down to 16 games, like he does have a realistic shot of breaking that record, even if you were to average it over 16 games, which is pretty exciting. As we know, tight end is typically a position that does take a while to develop. So seeing him have the success so early in his career you love to see it. You know what I mean? Like, how could you not be excited as a Packers fan for what he could develop into? Everybody says on Twitter, you know, like once he catches the ball, it's just like his legs or feet give out from underneath him, and he's just like constantly like falling to the ground or something like that. But I mean, repetition, repetition, repetition. If this dude just practices like catching the ball and then staying up, I mean, players all the time work on contact balance, especially running backs. So it's something that can be improved upon. So I'm not too worried about it right now. The dude's getting open and he's making plays in the NFL. Like, I'm very pleased with how Luke Musgrave's been coming along this season, and it just seems like he's getting better. So, I mean, who knows what he's going to be like towards the end of the season or even next year. So that's pretty exciting. So Aaron Jones has been used a little bit more than he has been in the beginning of the season, which is fantastic, because clearly when Aaron Jones is being used more, the offense clicks better. They have more yards per game. They have more points per game. They also have won more of their games when Aaron Jones is utilized more. Now, Aaron Jones his production doesn't really match what he has been bringing to the table. He averaged 2.7 yards per carry. He had 13 carries. So you're like, 2.7. I mean, that's pretty bad, but it's not so much the production of what he brings to the table. It's also what he actually accomplishes while he's on the field. He picks up so many first downs. And in those games where he wasn't being used or if he was injured, I mean, how many three and outs did you see, especially in the first half of games where it's like they gain 4, 5, 6 yards and it's a punt, where now they're gaining 4, 5, 6 yards. They get it to Aaron Jones on third down and now they're converting and making a new set of downs. It's huge. Even if even if it's third and two and he picks up 3 yards, that's huge. That gets us to, you know, another set of downs to create more opportunities, especially to create these downfield shots. You know, having Aaron Jones on the field is huge for this offense because it makes defenses play their offense differently. They have to account for Aaron Jones no matter where he is on the field, and they know that he's going to get utilized and that he's going to get the ball. So it changes the way that teams play against them, and it makes the Packers better. He's been a consummate pro his entire time on this team, and it's not just numbers with him. Having him in the game plan and having him on the field is just huge for this offense. And speaking of Jones, Dylan has actually been getting better as well. AJ Dylan, which typically doesn't have these huge breakaway runs, had a huge 40-yard gain in this game. He's been getting better as the season's been going on. You love to see it. You know, this has actually kind of been a thing with Dylan. If you look back over his career with the Packers, he kind of starts the year slow, and then as the year goes on, he gets better and better. I don't know if it's related to the cold or if it just takes him a while to get warmed up, or if, you know, every year the team is different. You have to learn how to win and stuff. But I think that's why they drafted him in the first place. You know, they drafted a big running back to be a closer or to be somebody who opposing teams will hate to tackle once it's cold and snowing in Lambeau Field. So we know what AJ Dillon brings to the table. It was awesome to see him have a productive game this game, even though the Packers didn't win. I'm looking for the little things that you could take away from this, because we all know what this year is. This year is a foundation year. It's a year to build on. It's a year to see who's going to be on this team next year and who isn't, because the Packers are going to, let's face it, they're going to have a lot of premium draft capital next season, and they're going to have a lot of young players going into their second and third years, and they're going to have a lot more cap space. So this team is going to look completely different next year. We know this. We don't even know if Jordan Love's still going to be the quarterback next year. So this is an evaluation year, and you have to look, obviously, being a Packers fan, you want to cheer for them. You want them to win every game. And I'm never going to say that you should cheer for the team to lose. You know, I'm a big believer in the draft. The draft position is a consolation prize. It's not something that you should be striving for. You know, I'm very grateful. I am a fan of a team that does not tank, that tries its hardest to be competitive and to try to win a Super Bowl every single year. Now, this year is very different, because for the first time in, 18 years, the Packers aren't going into the season thinking that they have a shot to win the Super Bowl, which is crazy. You know, we're very spoiled fans. We're all aware of that. But just having that mentality of going into every game, just trying to look at, hey, how has this team grown? Who's getting better? You know, that's the kind of stuff that you love to see. And that's the kind of stuff that I like to look for, and what I get excited about watching Packers games now. You want to see some development. You want to see, like, if somebody's struggling, if they get better, if they can put it together, or if somebody's been playing above their expectations and is a dog like Jaden Reed. And you're like, man, you know, we didn't think that this guy was going to be as productive as he is, but I mean, just think about what this offense is going to look like with him next year. You know, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. And I do realize that next year, and even the year after that, it's going to be a year where they're going to probably be trying to sign a lot of free agents, that they're going to, you know, potentially move up in the draft to draft another quarterback. Or if they believe that Love is the guy, they're going to try to surround this guy with as much talent as humanly possible. Because if they do think Love is the guy, I don't envision him getting a top of market quarterback deal. You know, so they'll have a lot more cap space than some of these teams that pay a premium for their quarterback. And they'll hopefully use that money to surround him with talent to make him look better. Because it's not so much that you have to have an elite quarterback. If you have nothing around him, which, like we saw last year with Aaron Rodgers, did Rodgers play worse than he had over the last couple of years? Yeah, absolutely. But he also lost Devontae Adams. All of his receivers were rookies, except for an aging Randall Cobb. And it just, it took too long for them to start to put it together. They had a huge loss streak where they lost five games in a row. And then Watson's emergence really started to change the offense. You can have the greatest quarterback in the world, but if there's nobody to throw to, I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes this year. Patrick Mahomes, he's fantastic and he's having a great year. But compared to Patrick Mahomes' previous years, he hasn't been as productive, especially throwing to receivers. It's because he still has Travis Kelce that the offense is clicking like that. Aaron Rodgers had Devontae Adams. And, you know, they had all the other guys around him, which Devontae Adams, let's be honest, kind of created lanes for them to be productive. But once Adams was lost, the offense looked completely different. You have to have somebody that this quarterback can rely on, somebody that he has chemistry with, somebody who's a dog, and you can, you know, get a bucket when needed, or can make a huge play, or somebody that, you know, like if you throw a 50-50 ball, man, that receiver's coming down with it. Like whenever you threw it to Adams, like you were confident Adams was coming down, or he was going to make a play and he was going to do great things. So they don't quite have that on this offense right now, which is fine. You know, just who knows? Watson could turn into that. We were, you know, Watson's family's huge on Twitter. So we were watching, I think it was his older brother, make the comparison with Devontae Adams in his first 2 years on the Packers. And, you know, he made a couple of valid points. You know, I don't know if anybody's listening that was a fan of the Packers who watched during 2014 and 2015, but Packers fans were kind of over Devontae Adams. They thought that he was kind of a bust. But then his third year, he really started to like put it together. And sometimes, I mean, not every player is the same. Not every receiver comes into the league and is Chase Young in their rookie season, or Justin Jefferson their first season. It takes time. Devontae Adams, I'll still argue, is the greatest wide receiver in the league right now. And he wasn't his first 2 years. You know, he was, I think, like the 12th or 13th receiver taken in that draft. You know, the Packers took him at the end of the second round. So many of those receivers either aren't even in the league anymore or nowhere near as productive as Devontae Adams is. So we know you have to be patient. You have to be patient with this team. They're very, very young. They're still learning how to win. They're still learning how to play. And they're still learning how to become productive in this offense. You know, so the offense that a lot of these guys played in college is different than what they're playing in now. You know, so you have to learn the NFL. You have to learn how to go against NFL corners. You also have to learn how to separate in the NFL. And that's where I feel like the contested catch thing, because like these receivers in college, you know, they were probably separating by yards more than they are right now in the NFL. So they have to learn how to separate. They have to work on their release packages. They have to work on their contested catch and changing their mentality about grabbing that ball out of the air and holding on to it for dear life before somebody comes and knocks it out of your hands and it turns into an interception in the end zone. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was the backwards pass. So, oh my gosh, the backward pass. It was clearly a backwards pass. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but it has to be brought up because they showed it in so many different angles, and not in every single angle that they showed, it was a backwards pass. Like it was a backwards pass by at least a yard, right? And 1 yard, it's 3 feet. It wasn't like a couple of inches. Like it was a full yard. It was a backwards pass. And for them to come back out after they challenged it and stand behind that decision was just beyond me. So the reason I'm so upset with it, and it's whatever, it's NFL officiating. It happens to the best of us. We've been the beneficiary of it. Sometimes we've also clearly have been on the other side of it. But the problem was, is it should have been a turnover. First of all, they called the play dead, and they were trying to make an emphasis on this about, you know, if it's a possible turnover to let it play out and then treat it as a turnover and see if it actually was a turnover, because they have to review every turnover anyways. So they first of all, didn't do that. And the second thing was the Packers would have had the ball. in the red zone. I mean, they would have came away with points regardless of if they moved the ball or not. So that was very disheartening to see. It was very upsetting, and you hate to see it. But again, it's NFL officiating. I'm never going to say that one thing like that, especially if it wasn't like the last play in the game is the reason that we lost the game. But I will say that that blocked extra point meant a lot more game than I thought it was good. You know, things throughout a game and then teams adjust how they play based off the current score of the game, right? So if you're down 3 versus down 4 or down 2 versus down 3, you know, it's one of those things where all of a sudden you're only down by a field goal, right? Imagine how different that drive looks if the game was 23-20 as opposed to 23-19. That last pass into the end zone where they had 7 people standing at the edge of the end zone, and that looks completely different. If all they had to do was kick a field goal from that position with a couple of seconds left in the game, they could have taken it to overtime, and who knows, they could have squeaked away a win, you know? So the special teams, other than Keyshawn Nixon, has still unfortunately been kind of up and down. Anybody who watches the Steelers knows that their special teams is especially good, and they're one of the better teams in the league at blocking field goals and blocking punts. They have been for years. So they should have been ready for it. They should have known that something like this was coming, and they should have, you know, prepared better for it, because that one point, you could probably say, ended up costing them the game, or at least a shot at winning the game. And that was disheartening. And another disheartening thing was the run defense. You know, we've been saying it for years. We've been saying it every single week this year, but it was especially bad in this game because the Steelers have not had a good rushing offense. They were talking about it coming into the game about how they've been averaging about 90 yards per game. They're one of the worst rushing offenses in the league, and they had their best game running the ball by a mile against the Packers. And it seems to be a common theme. You know, teams that don't run the ball well or run the ball well have exceptional games against the Packers, especially in that first half. It seemed like the Packers literally could not stop the run to save their lives. It's disheartening. It's frustrating because they know it's a problem. They've known it's a problem. It's been a problem for years, but they still haven't fixed it. It's not getting any better. There's times, I'll give them to their credit. There are times where they do stiffen up. Like the defense played much, much better in the second half of this game than they did in the first. I don't understand how they go into every week not thinking that the opposing team is going to be just running the ball down their throat. They need to start playing to stop the run first, because I feel like this secondary, even with the injuries that we have right now, is playing well enough to stop the pass that they should be putting more of an emphasis on stopping the run. I don't know if it's playing the linebackers up closer to the line of scrimmage. I don't know if it's people playing out of position, you know, having some of these ends, maybe moving them inside. I don't know if it's playing more defensive linemen and less outside linebackers, but something needs to change, because they know it's a problem. We know it's a problem. The league knows it's a problem, and it's not getting fixed. So I don't know if maybe in the draft, they just need to look for a big, like, hog molly to put in the middle of this defense. Cause Kenny Clark's a great player, great penetration style defensive lineman. He's been a great player on this team for years. He is a below average run stopper. For a first round defensive lineman, he is a very below average run stopper and has been for quite some time. I mean, it feels like this team hasn't been able to stop the run since like 2018, 2017. And it's just far too long, especially when every week, every team knows how to play against you. It's frustrating. It's frustrating as a fan. I can only imagine how frustrating it is to be on that team, knowing that it's such a glaring issue and they don't have the answers to improve it. I don't know if it's personnel. It's definitely not defensive coordinator, because that's permeated through multiple defensive coordinators. So it just needs to be fixed. Unfortunately, I don't have the answers to these things, but something needs to be done. Now, like I was saying, Keyshawn Nixon, he was in his bag in this game. Keyshawn Nixon played exceptionally well. He was starting to return to that form from last year. I mean, they had to start kicking away from Keyshawn Nixon towards the end of the game because, man, Nixon, he's just so dynamic with the ball in his hands. And I'll never fault him, man. Sometimes, like, you know, if you look at other teams when their kick returner is standing in the end zone and it gets to a certain point in the end zone, they're like, yeah, you know what? It's more beneficial here to take the 25 yards than to try to risk it and you know, come out at the 20 or the 18 or something like that. Keyshawn Nixon should take it out every single time. I don't care. Because for every time that he only gets to the 17, there's times where he's going to take it out to the 35 or 40. And this offense could use every jolt of advantage that they could possibly get their hands on. You know, he's a weapon. He's a weapon on special teams. And if you look at it that way, he's a weapon for this offense. You know, the less they have to go down this field, the better, you know, because the points, let's be real, aren't as close to come by this year as they have been over the last 30 years as a Green Bay Packers fan. So they should be looking to take every opportunity that they can get to have an advantage. And Keyshawn Nixon's definitely an advantage. I hope he's still on the team next year. I know he only signed a 1-year deal, but I feel like he's proven enough as a special teams player that he should be able to stick around. Like, there was that player on the Patriots that, you know, he was on the Patriots for like 10, 12 years as a special teamer. I feel like that could be Keyshawn Nixon for the Packers. You know, he probably shouldn't be playing too much nickel. I mean, although he did have the interception, which was phenomenal. That was awesome. But, I think, you know, keeping him fresh for special teams, I said it last week and I'll continue to say it. It's really where he excels, you know? So they should just have him focus on that because he's dynamic. I mean, they're paying him for his special teams ability. So just keep him on special teams. And honestly, I thought the offensive line held up pretty well too. You know, Pittsburgh has a very, very good pass rush. And Love, I think, was only sacked twice. So I thought that they held up pretty well, especially TJ Watt. TJ Watt is a defensive player of the year candidate year in and year out. He's setting records. He has numbers similar to his brother and Reggie White. They were showing during the thing. He had almost as many sacks in his first 100 games as Reggie White did and his brother, which is just insane. So I was very pleased with the way that the offensive line held up. So that was a stride, you know, because there were some games this year where the offensive line, which is supposed to be a strength of this offense, was playing very poorly. So that was very encouraging to see. And, you know, before I get out of here, I do want to touch on next week's game. So after seeing how the schedule looks for the rest of the year, I was a little disheartened a couple of episodes ago talking about, you know, I can't say that there's a game left where I am very confident that the Packers will definitely win it. Although after seeing how they played against the Lions last week, the Chargers defense is booty. You know, they're supposed to, you know, their coach is a defensive coach. They have all this talent on defense, but their defense actually kind of reminds me of the Packers defense, which I know it's the same tree and everything like that. But I mean, they let the Lions score 41 points. The Lions dominated their defense. So I feel like this could be an opportunity for the Packers to like maybe test some things out and try to, you know, like they did in this past game, try to get the ball downfield, because I feel like the Los Angeles Chargers defense is going to make the Packers offense look a lot better than some of the other defenses have over this season, you know? So I going into it, I thought that it was going to be, you know, at the beginning of the season, that this was going to be an easy Chargers win, but man, the Chargers have just been charging, you know? So who knows? I'm not going to go into next week dreading it, thinking that there's no way that the Packers are going to win, because the Lions just scored 41 points on them and their defense looks atrocious. You know, yeah, they have studs and they can make plays and stuff, but they just let up so much easy stuff, kind of like the Packers defense, that who knows, you know. Love's been making strides. Jaden Reed's a dog. I'm very much looking forward to next week. And I would be beyond excited if the Packers were to beat the Chargers. For the remaining schedule, they have the Lions, they have the Chiefs, They have the Giants, Buccaneers, Panthers, Vikings, and Bears. So I will go back to what I was just saying a moment earlier. I do think that the Packers could beat the Giants. The Giants are just a mess this year, a bigger mess than the Packers, which you know, you can't really hold it a lot against the Giants. You know, they lost Daniel Jones for the rest of the year. They don't really have a solid backup behind him. So I think this year is kind of like a lost year for them. So that should be a dub for the Packers, hopefully. But the rest of the games look pretty grim. So it looks like, you know, the Bears game could be a good game, depending on who's playing quarterback for them then. The Vikings, I mean, who knows what the Vikings are just playing beyond everybody's expectations right now. Who knows what that game's going to look like? The Buccaneers have been very up and down. So that also should be a pretty good game. The Panthers have also been kind of down. I think that 6 win total is probably pretty accurate. I think the betting odds, they were saying it was plus or minus 7. And 7 probably feels like a good number, because right now, if they were to win 3 more games, that puts them to 6 wins. And the 3 games could be the Giants, the Panthers, the Buccaneers. And if they were to get 1 win out of either the Vikings or the Bears, that's your 7th win. I don't think that they have a chance to beat the Lions. They definitely don't have a chance to beat the Chiefs. And the Chargers, I mean, who knows? If they beat the Chargers, I mean, I think that this team can really start to put some stuff together. I think that would be a statement game for this team, because they really haven't had a statement win so far this season. The wins that they have had, other than the first game against the Bears, which was just awesome. You know, they beat the Rams pretty handily. It's been a lot of close games. You know, they beat the Saints by 1. They lost to the Raiders by 4. The Vikings embarrassed them. We lost to the Broncos by 2, which really was, that was such a frustrating game to watch. But alas. So thank you guys for watching or listening. Hopefully Nate will be back again next week, and we'll be recording again on Sunday. Normally we do record live around 10 p.m. Eastern on Sundays, but some stuff came up yesterday and Nate had some work stuff. So we recorded a little later this week, but we appreciate you guys for your patience and for listening. Again, please hit the like and subscribe. Please follow us on Twitter. Please talk at us on Twitter. You can at me at Bobby A. Winter. DMs are open, man. Me and Nate, we just love talking ball. Really, all the guys here at Toilets to Titles just love talking ball. So, you know, engage with us. You know, we love talking sports just as much as we love watching it, man. So I appreciate you guys, and I hope you have a great night. And go Pack, go. Hopefully we get a Packers win next week. Take care.